Our scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 2, as I mentioned earlier, we're getting back in our study through 2 Timothy, the preaching through the book in our morning services, our time together. We'll do a little bit of a review, and then we're going to move to that fascinating word as we look at the word nevertheless. That's a really great word, and we'll look at that in just a few minutes right after we pray. Father, thank you for the scriptures. Please teach us as only you can do. I pray that the preaching will be clear and accurate this morning from the Word of God, and you will lead us in your truth for your honor and for your glory, and to teach us more about yourself, to bring conviction in our lives where that's necessary, to encourage us where and when we are discouraged, to strengthen us, and to help us keep going and not become overly weary or discouraged, but faithful. We pray for that from you in Jesus' name. Amen. As Paul writes to Timothy, old preacher to young preacher, to encourage him in the battles of all things spiritual. Spiritual battles are the most intense. Spiritual battles are the most exhausting. And when you, by God's grace, determine to live for the Lord, you'll find sufficient challenges in doing that. You'll also find the grace of God to see you through that. Spiritual warfare is exhausting, working with spiritual things in our lives. It's good and it's right, but it can bring a fatigue factor because the spiritual things are the things that really count. There's other important things in life. Finances, health, people. But your spiritual, your walk with God is vitally important in your life and in the lives of those people that God has placed in and around your life. So that's where the battle is fought. Is each one of us in our own thinking, our own hearts, our perspectives and outlooks, which we pray that we get those from the Holy Spirit of God through the Word of God so that we can think biblically, we can think correctly in a world that is more confused by the day and in facing our own predicaments and being as honest as we should be, sometimes we get confused. And God will clear that up for us and help us to understand things. So as the issue that Paul is helping Timothy to understand is what we looked at several weeks ago, is the problem that false teaching had brought into the church. Young church, young believers, and the solution is in verse 14, put them in remembrance. Keep bringing the truth. Keep reminding them of the truth. Charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Now this is really for all believers, but specifically to Timothy as a preacher. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Right application of biblical principles to the issues of life. That's rightly dividing the word of truth. It's knowing the scriptures. It's knowing from the word of God the character and nature of God. So you can face life's questions with, well, what does the Bible say? What principles are involved from Scripture? And what is God like? to rightly divide the word of truth, but you have to study the word. You have to study the scriptures. You have to know. We'll talk more about that tonight in our Bible study at 5. Rightly dividing. Refuse. Shun, verse 16. Shun, turn away from profane and vain babblings. For they will increase unto more ungodliness. And then the example is given of a couple teachers in the church who convinced these young Christians they've erred, that the resurrection of the saints has already taken place, verse 18. They overthrew the faith of some. So in this challenge, warning, instruction, this love from old preacher to young preacher, stick with the truth. Even when people tell you the truth doesn't work anymore, we found a better way. Let's just set the Bible aside. Let's look at this passage. Well, people aren't comfortable with this, so let's make sure we don't ever talk about that. Stick to the Word of God and seek God to use the Word of God for His purposes in the lives of people. We, every one of us, we are responsible for what we choose to believe. We are not victims of false teachers. When someone succumbs to a false teacher, it's not a victimhood. It is a willing choice. Know the truth. Love the truth. Live the truth. And do not depart from the Word of God. False teachers were then, and false teachers are multiplied today. There's thousands and thousands of false teachers. Well, how does somebody defend themselves against false teachers? Well, the best way to do that is to follow the teachings of the Lord Jesus and follow the pattern of the New Testament church. The best way to protect yourself from false teaching is to be in a church where God's word is preached and taught and followed and lived and loved. That's how we're grounded in the scriptures, is through the ministry of the local church. And when a local church takes up other good causes and stops preaching the word, they can be a lot of things, but they cannot be a properly ordered New Testament church. Because the local church is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about the preaching and teaching of the Word of God as God's people come to worship Him. Everyone is welcome. The gospel is preached. God's people are fed. We pray that the unsaved that would attend our services would come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and would come to Christ in repentance and faith and be born again. When a church stops preaching the word and starts fixing culture, helping society, now there's some things that can be done that are helpful, but not at the cost of the preaching of the word. And even back in Timothy's day, words to no profit, verse 14, but to the subverting of the hearers, profane and vain babblings, non-biblical content, conspiracy theories, political philosophies, politicians, elections. We assemble together as born-again believers in Jesus Christ to worship God and to learn from the Word of God. Now, it is important, of course, to be up to date on issues and you know, be aware of your surroundings, know what's going on. But the purpose of the church has not changed since the Lord Jesus founded it. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, we've talked about the city gates a little bit in Sunday school with Absalom trying to get the kingdom from David, and he would go to the city gates. Well, the city gates, that's where the business was transacted. That's where conversations were had, agreements were made, schemes were hatched. So the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The gates of hell, specifically, all of the plans and schemes of Satan will not destroy the local church. It will keep going. What will harm the local church is when the Word of God becomes less important and less important. And we come to church and we hear the reading of a verse and then 15 different stories and 17 illustrations and 3 or 4 jokes. God's people, by the Holy Spirit of God who indwells every one of us, every born-again person in this room is capable of understanding the Word of God. Don't be afraid of it. Don't run away from it. Don't let the dust gather on the Bible. Keep it active. Stay in it, read it, pray over it, trust the Lord in it, have some fellowship with God. False teaching, the Bible says, eats away like a canker, like an ulcer. Just eats away. Doesn't do anything helpful or productive. And just one verse in Ephesians 4, I'll read it. You're welcome to turn there if you like. I just want to read verse 14. As we look at Ephesians 4, talks about the purpose of the local church ministry. And this is something that is being brought home to Timothy to understand in this letter. The perfecting of the saints in verse 12, that is the maturing, that's the ministry of the local church. Ephesians 4:11, through the apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, etc. Why? So the saints, the born-again people, can understand the Word of God and do the work of the ministry to edify the body of Christ. And there's a unity. Verse 13 talks about what is the unity? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So that's what we're learning. The closer we get to understanding and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and taught from the Scripture, the closer we get to each other with Christ as the center. Not philosophy, not politics, not worthy causes, but Christ. Unto a perfect man, and coming into unity, to a mature, a complete person, and unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, verse 14 is where I'm headed with this, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We don't want to be like children tossed to and fro with every new idea that comes along, every wind of doctrine, every sleight of men or cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. It's the preaching and teaching of the Word in the local church and our attendance to that preaching and teaching that God will use to deepen our understanding of the Word, to love Him more, to understand truth better, and to know false teaching when you cross paths or it crosses your path. In 1 Corinthians, I'll just read this for the sake of time. 1 Corinthians 14:20, brethren, be not children in understanding. Brethren, grow up, mature spiritually. Don't be children in your understanding of scriptural things. Howbeit in malice be children. When it comes to evil and wickedness, be like children. the youngest ones who maybe do something naughty once in a while, but you don't see that evil and the wickedness that you see in grown-ups. So when it comes to malice or evil, be childlike. But in understanding, don't be like children. But in understanding, be men. That means grown up, mature with understanding. And that comes from the Word of God. Now we get back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we always want to be clear and not confusing. So you want to look back at our verses. And verse 17 talks about the false teaching is like a canker, like an ulcer that just eats away. It only harms. False teaching has never helped anyone. It only harms. Verse 18, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, verse 17, who concerning the truth have erred, so they were wrong about the truth, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Overthrow the faith of some. You need to understand what that means in the text and the context. It means discouraged believers. It overthrew their enthusiasm for the Lord and the things of the Lord. It did not overthrow their salvation. But false teaching took their joy away. It took their purpose away. It confused them. When we look at passages of Scripture like this, and you look at this verse and it overthrow the faith of some, well, in the New Testament language of the Greek, we can study the words out and all of that's good. But how do we understand this in a practical way? How do we know it doesn't mean their faith was overthrown, so they lost their salvation? Oh, no, their faith was overthrown. They were Christians, and then this false teacher, they're all confused, and now they're not Christians anymore. Here's the way to accurately study the Word of God. You take a passage that is clear and understandable, and you help it shed light on something that may be a little obscure in our thinking. What could this possibly mean, loss of salvation? So let's take a moment and let's look at a clear passage. And there's many. I just picked one, John chapter 10. Let's look at a clear passage to help us understand this. And then you couple with that the meaning of the Greek, the discouragement of the believer as false teachers convinced them that they missed the resurrection, the saints, that's over. Jesus said in John 10:27, now just know how clear this is. My sheep hear my voice, you know, my people, the good shepherd, Psalm 23 and John 10, and my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now here's where it gets real interesting. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So when you look at the passage in 2 Timothy, we see the faith of some overthrown, and we look at John 10 and many other passages, and you realize that Jesus said, I give unto them, the redeemed people, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now, people get confused over security, eternal security. You always want to go to the Bible to get your questions answered. Here's a good passage to think through and pray through and understand. But there are Christians who would hold the position that I am born again because of I've turned from my sin, I've turned to Christ. My salvation is based in it's faith alone in Christ alone plus nothing. That not a work of righteousness that I could do. It's all Christ. And we agree. Praise God. It's Christ. But then to go from that position to say, I have to somehow work to keep my salvation. If I don't do good works, if I do this or that, I could lose it. So you're taking a very confused mixture of faith alone in Christ alone by God's grace for salvation, and then you're mixing works with keeping salvation. The contradiction is glaring. We cannot earn our salvation. We cannot earn the keeping of it. It's being born again. It's being redeemed. It's born by the grace of God. Yet the teaching that some people put forward is that you can lose your salvation. It doesn't comfort people. It doesn't help people. First of all, it's not true. Now, there's a thinking behind it, okay? But it's the same thinking that goes into a works-based salvation. That I can do something to earn my salvation or do something to earn the keeping of it. The thinking, of course, is if that were the case, it would be a better world because everybody would be doing good things to earn their salvation. They'd all be doing good things to keep their salvation. So we would finally all just get along. There's a one-word problem with that. Sin. Sin is the problem. So use clear passages to help understand those things you might question and wonder about. Like this passage in 2 Timothy. But know this, you are secure in the finished work of Christ. The moment you turn from sin to Christ in repentance and faith and born again, you're born into the family of God. That's permanent. You're declared righteous. You're at peace with God. And I think you know this as well as I do. If we were honest, which I hope we are, I don't think there's a person in this room that would say, I'm capable of keeping my salvation. If it's up to me, I got it covered. Don't worry about me. I think most of us know if it was up to me, if I had to keep myself saved, I wouldn't have been saved very long. Now, there's a day coming when we walk the streets of gold. God calls us home and says, come on home. Our sin nature is gone. It's done. It's over. These battles are done. But in the meantime, you've got a war on your hands. Submit yourself to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee. Submit yourself to God and resist yourself. This full age, grown up, of 1 Corinthians 14:20, an understanding, be of full age, be grown up. False teaching can confuse and discourage the believer, but can never separate the believer from the love of God. So when a believer gets caught up in some type of false teaching, they won't lose their salvation, but it does make life a lot harder. Walking humbly with God in the truth of the Word of God is the best life. It is the life of worship and service, faithfulness and obedience. Stick close to God and His Word, because we are more easily deceived than we realize. So we get to this word then as he challenges Timothy. All of these things, the false teachers, some of the faith overthrown, and people that maybe were looked to have gone a different direction. Nevertheless, all the same, all things considered, it changes nothing. The foundation of God standeth sure. It stands sure. Whatever you do with it, it stands sure. It is heartbreaking. It is honestly discouraging when somebody has walked with the Lord and lived obediently and at some point in life just turn away and just turn away from all of it. That's hard on every believer. To get caught up and to follow false teaching. But nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. The integrity, unaffected by the defection of some who had seemed to belong to it. The body of Christ, all believers of the church age, born into the body of Christ, born again, brothers and sisters in Christ. To be born into the family of God, the body of Christ, those words, I don't use the word universal church, that has a lot of weak spots. Body of Christ is biblical. Brothers and sisters in Christ, biblical. When you're born into that, that takes place at repentance and faith. The Holy Spirit of God quickens you. That means brings you from spiritual death to spiritual life. Ephesians chapter 2. He's quickened you. Before you came to Christ, you were spiritually dead. In Christ, you were made spiritually alive. And you're born into the family of God. So everyone in the body of Christ is a born-again believer. Now, the body of Christ is manifested in local churches like this one. All around the world. It's people who have come to Christ in repentance and faith, have been born again, have obeyed the Lord in believers' baptism, Acts chapter 2, which, by the way, Holy Spirit baptism, I don't want to get too far afield here, takes place when you're born again. That baptism means you're brought to life, you're indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God, and you're born into the family of God. Baptism by immersion after salvation is a step of obedience and faith. It is an outward profession. Here's what I believe. I believe that Jesus died for me, was buried for me, and rose again for me. And I've trusted him as my Savior, and this baptism is in obedience to picture that, the death, under the water the burial, out of the water the resurrection. I want you to see what I believe, and that's New Testament Bible. The baptism by immersion after salvation brings the believer into the membership of the local church. That's how you're brought into the membership, is through baptism by immersion after salvation. And for those that have been, you know, born again and baptized by immersion and they have membership to transfer, you don't need rebaptized every time you join a church. But you do need believer's baptism, which is immersion after salvation. So you're brought into the membership. You're born into the family of God. By Holy Spirit baptism, water baptism brings you into the membership of the local church, where there's family, there's accountability, there's a recognition of what that all means. Now, why did I say all of that? Simply to say this. To be a member of a a local New Testament church, a person needs to give a testimony of their faith in Christ, have followed the Lord and believers' baptism, and desire to join the church that they agree with. It is possible. Possible. Maybe not as likely as sometimes people think. But it's possible for an unsaved person to go through all of that with, except for the genuine repentance and faith. But it's possible for an unsaved person to be a member of a local church. They can go through all of the things outwardly. Oh yeah, yeah. I asked Jesus to save me, and I've been baptized. But they know in the heart that they're not. Now, in the body of Christ, there are no unbelievers. In the local churches around the world, there may be some unbelievers who have gotten in for whatever reason or purpose. Sometimes they get in and they start false teaching. They start leading astray. And that's one of the responsibilities of the pastor who is the shepherd, the protector of the sheep, if you will. So a pastor has a responsibility to be aware if there's someone in the church that's false teaching, that needs to be addressed quickly and seriously from the Word of God. Jesus loves the church and gave himself for it. The foundation of our salvation standeth sure, having the seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. God knows your heart and mine. Sometimes people are just pretenders. Sometimes people have other motives. But God knows our hearts. And it is it's a sad, sad day in any local church when differences come and disagreements and members start acting like unsaved people. That needs to be dealt with lovingly, firmly, and truthfully by a local church. And those are some tough things to deal with. But don't ever forget that the foundation of God standeth sure. False teachers are not going to overthrow the foundation. They might overthrow the faith of some. They'll never overthrow the foundation. The Lord knoweth them that are his, having this seal, this protection, this solid place, this foundation. To honor God, to honor him. As we look through these verses, the vessels, some to honor and some to dishonor, be careful, be aware, be alert. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. To honor God is to accept his word and change. To dishonor God is to change his word to fit your own beliefs and desires. To honor God is to accept his word and change. God uses his word. He brings you to decisions. Come down on God's side. Believe him. Submit to him. Obey him. Not as the dishonor or the unworthy. But fit for the master's use. Unworthy person serving their own purposes, whether pastor or people, is unacceptable. Be a vessel of God by refusing all manner of false teaching. Be a vessel of God by knowing the truth and loving and living the truth. And you do that by being in the Word of God, reading and praying and studying and thinking and being faithful to the preaching and teaching in the local church. Just want to give you just a few thoughts as we wrap this up this morning. Encourage every believer to be a vessel of God by refusing all manner of false teaching. I want to end with four thoughts. First one you've heard throughout the message is know your Bible. Believe it. Love it. Live it. Secondly, because it starts there, and that's what the local church will help you to do, is to know your Bibles. Whether it's the morning service, Sunday school, junior church, Wednesday night youth group, Sunday night, men's Bible study breakfasts or ladies' Bible studies, everything that this local church does is designed to help us to know the Word of God, to know Him and to love Him, and to have His Word be foundational in our lives. Number two, do not be deceived by anyone, no matter how spiritual or successful they might appear, or how friendly they might be. Do not be deceived by anyone, no matter how spiritual or successful they might appear, or how friendly they might be. That defines false teachers. Many, many false teachers appear to be very spiritual. And they don't appear to be successful, they are successful. They are. They're very popular. They can have 25 or 30,000 people in a morning service. What would you ever do with that? They're very successful, but don't be deceived by that. Or how friendly. But they're just so friendly and they're just so helpful. And little different note, but that's something that cults do. We're supposed to be friendly, I understand that, but cults look for people that are really struggling and they befriend them and try to win them into their cults, and they look for people that are just going through hard times and they'll try to get them in that way. I always things bother me more than other things, I guess, but when people say, oh, we just need the zeal, we need to be zealous. If we just had the enthusiasm of the cults, if we just had that zealous, and it's like, I don't want to be unkind, but do you know what you're talking about? Do you have any clue? Do you understand that these people that are so zealous to win people to the cult, it's part of their works salvation? They're not doing it for you. They're doing it for themselves. And every time you take literature and you want to be polite and they knock on your door and, well, would you take our literature? Well, I don't want to be sure. Every time you do that, they can go back and report they've given this much out. They're working their way to heaven. In their own thinking, in their own false teaching, and their own false beliefs. Don't be confused by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Boy, can they sing. Boy, do they have a building and acoustics. They're false teachers. They deny the person and work of Jesus Christ. Don't be deceived by any false teaching. So number one, know your Bible. Number two, don't be deceived by the bells and the whistles and all the excitement and enthusiasm. Number three, maintain personal integrity. Maintain personal integrity. That matters. The way you live your life matters. The way I live my life matters. You want to be a vessel used of God? Know your Bible. Don't be deceived by any false teachers. Maintain your personal integrity. Be faithful in your local church. And be very careful of who you allow to teach you the Word of God through radio and podcasts and internet and all of that. So there's some powerful people out there that sound good, but if you get into their doctrine and if you define their words the way that they're defining them, they mean different than what you think. So you've got to be very cautious. But as Timothy's challenge, even back in his day, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. God loves you. God will see you through. And as often as we say this from the Word of God, live by faith, not by sight. That's really hard. I don't think we want to admit how hard that is, to walk by faith and not by sight. Because to walk by faith, you have to turn loose of everything else and just trust the Lord. Just trust the Lord and do the right thing. Don't try to manipulate outcomes. Just trust the Lord and do right. That's faith. So live by faith, not by sight. And live by your faith, not someone else's. What do you believe, and why do you believe it, and how does it affect your life? Because the foundation of God standeth sure and will withstand all of the attacks. There's huge movements on the internet of people that used to grow Bible-believing churches, and they're turned against them, and they've got these big followings, and nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Don't let this false teaching, profane and vain babblings, overthrow your faith. Which means, not that you lose your salvation, but you just don't care anymore. I used to care. I used to go to church. I used to read my Bible. I used to be faithful. But then this happened, or God loves you, and He will see you through. Father, thank You for helping us understand this passage. I pray that it's not confusing to us gathered in this room. I pray, dear Lord, that You will develop in us, with our participation, that You will develop in us a love for You and Your Word, a thirst for the Scriptures, to know the truth. Please help us. And we would ask that You place that in our hearts. And we do ask that, but we understand we have to be involved. We have to be actively involved in learning from the Scriptures. You will teach us. You will. But we need to study to show ourselves approved unto You. Thank You for working in our lives, and I pray through our lives, in Jesus' name, amen.